All right, today I want to talk to you about raising up shepherds. God's moving in our house, and we're beginning to see some things happen that are in preparation, I believe, for the harvest what God wants to bring in. And I believe there's a harvest out there waiting to be brought in. And I'm going to say more about that harvest and where I think things need to go for that in some subsequent messages. But today I want to focus on shepherds. And us knowing what that looks like. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. No jokes today. I don't have a joke today. No joke. No joke. No, really, seriously, no joke. Okay, some of you will get that, some of you won't. But anyway, yeah, some of you are giggling a little. 1 Peter chapter 5, are you there? Still working on it? I'm going to give everybody a chance to get there. I'm going to be in this text for a lot today. I'll be bouncing back and forth into this text. This is kind of what they call expository preaching for those of you who want to get theological. And that means, you know, you start to take something and expose it. And the truth is, I'm not going to deeply expose this. There's so much that I could say out of this. We could be here for hours and I could do it, but I won't do that to you today. Maybe another time. Anyway, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders, everybody say elders. Who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Verse 2, shepherd. Everybody say shepherd. Shepherd. I want you to take note that this word shepherd is going to be different than one we're going to hear a little bit later from now, because this is a verb, so it's an activity, it's an action word. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Everybody say overseers. Does anybody have a version that says bishop? I don't know that any versions actually say bishop here, but this is the same word that is often translated, bishop. Interesting. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, everybody say shepherd. It's a noun. It's like the other word, but it's not the other word. They're very similar in their lettering, and we'll talk about that in a minute. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Everybody say elders. Okay, we've had that come up a couple of times, haven't we? Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Say submissive to one another. I find that interesting that, you know, he says something to the young people because he believes there's something to gain from the elders. But at the same time, then he follows it up immediately with be submissive to one another. Because just because you're an elder and you're all that doesn't mean you don't need to be submissive to one another. I've said this a lot of times, but we are in submission to a mission. You can't come in sub to a human if the human's not in the mission. But if the human's in the mission, then we're in submission to the mission. That doesn't make the human important. That makes the mission important. Submission to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A little over a year ago, I actually preached some of this. And it was right after we went to a wedding, Gabe and Abby's wedding. It was a nice wedding. It was nice, out in the woods. Had three ticks afterwards. No, just kidding. I was so ticked off. No. Last year was a bad year for ticks, though, but we didn't get any at the wedding, I don't think. And when we were at the wedding, they asked Pastor Lisa to read a portion of Scripture. And when they said, Pastor Lisa is going to come and read a portion of Scripture, I kind of smiled. Made me feel good to hear her referred to that way a little bit. Now, Lisa never studied as a pastor. Like, she didn't go off to some seminary and learn to be a pastor. She just grew up in a pastor's home and was never able to escape. Thought she would when she got married. Didn't happen. She was hoping that I wasn't going to be a pastor, but the Lord had better plans for me because I have needed her. And she's been an amazing co-pastor with me. Some denominations, by the way, would say that Lisa can't be a pastor. And I feel sorry for those folks. They don't understand what they're looking at. They've got a misunderstanding. But this isn't a day for me to talk about women in ministry. I'll do that another time. And I have done it before. In fact, if you want to find it, you can go back to May of 2018 and I do a whole series of messages called Empowering the Better Half. But it's on YouTube and you can find it. But anyway. Now, some of you have been ministered to by Pastor Lisa, haven't you? And she does things maybe in a different way than I would. And that's one of the beautiful things about different pastors and having more than just one dude who thinks he has to be all that in a bag of chips. You know, it's good that she's there. She can sometimes minister in ways that I just go right on, you know. She can take a hint, for example. Pastor Tim's not very good at taking hints.
We know.
Yeah. You've tried. Doesn't work. She's not very excited about being called Pastor Lisa. You know, she's okay. I mean, it's not a big deal, but she's not super, super excited about it. And most of you know that I really don't get that excited about it. Like, you know, you call me Tim, I'm fine. Just call me whatever you want. Just don't call me too late for dinner. It's important. But there are times when a title like that can be beneficial for both me and my ministry to people and to those who I'm ministering to. I call my doctor by his first name, but I'm also glad that he has doctor there, you know. It's a good thing. It's evidence to me that there's been something happen in him that makes him prepared to do what he does. So, but I also seriously doubt that the Apostle Paul ran around, you know, if someone called him Paul, I'll bet he was called Paul more than Apostle Paul. Like, he probably didn't walk around going, "No, I are an apostle. You've got to call me Apostle Paul." Anyway, what does the scripture say about pastors and leaders? It's important for us to understand that. And so I want to look at the terminologies in this text. The first word that we saw in the text in verse 1 was elders. And then we have these other words in the text as well. But elders is the word presbyteros. I almost mispronounced it. Presbyteros. Have you ever heard of the Presbyterian Church? Okay. It's supposed to have the connotation of an elder-led church. And it was a title given to a person who was in leadership, mainly starting out in tribes. There were tribal elders. Makes sense, doesn't it? You know, you've got your people who have been there the longest and they've survived, you know, running through the jungle and they've avoided the most lions. So, hey, they've stuck around a while. They might know something. We better pay attention to these people. They might help us. And then bishop or overseer is episkopoi. Have you ever heard of the Episcopal Church? Okay. And the idea there was more of a overseer-led church, somebody who was overseeing the people. But really, that's not different than the elder-led church, is it? It's not really a big change. But literally, one who watches over. And then there is the shepherd, the noun one, that's poimen. And it means a person who tends sheep. And he shepherds sheep. When you say it that way as a verb, it's poimeno, and it means that he feeds them. He makes sure they get what they need. That's his job. He's making sure. So I've come up with this example, kind of a pair of sentences. Maybe I should have put them up on the wall, but let me just say it this way. The pilot who flies the plane is Captain Smith. The pilot, descriptive of what he does, you know, his thing that he does, like plumber. The plumber who fixes the pipes, is, and then plumbers don't tend to have, you know, big titles. But Captain Smith, it's kind of nice when you've got a captain on your plane. But let me just read that same kind of a sentence again, only this time I'm plugging in the terminologies that we've been using today. The overseer who tends the flock is Pastor or Elder Tim. So I have this thing that I do, overseeing, and I feed the flock, and then I have these things that are hung on me to help people know that I'm the guy that does that. Pastor Tim, Elder Tim. These words are so closely related, but they've become kind of separated in the world we live in a little bit today because we're not as close to the shepherding business as we once were. Like once upon a time, shepherds were the lower end of the totem pole, but everybody knew what they did too, and everybody was thankful for what they did because they wanted what they brought, which was wool and meat. They needed the shepherds to be good at what they did because it helped people live. Acts 20, verse 28 says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He actually had pulled together the elders, and he told the elders, because if you read the context, pulled together the elders at Ephesus, and then he says to them, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. That means make sure they are taken care of, fed, which he purchased with his own blood. So this word overseer, again, is also the one from which we get the word bishop. And we see this in Paul's letter to Titus, actually in the New King James Version, at least it translates it this way. He says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. A bishop is an overseer, but he's also a steward. When you think of overseer and bishop, sometimes you think of somebody who's got this really lofty, important thing that they do, but they're actually just there filling in for the shepherd. Like, I'm not the great shepherd. I'm not the good shepherd. I'm the kind of doing the best I can shepherd. I want to do what I'm stewarding this for him. So bishops, just so you know, are not just guys with cool hats. How many of you, when you think of the word bishop, the first thing you see is this hat? It's kind of what we tend to think of. Maybe not in all cultures, but when I was a kid growing up, every time I saw a bishop, he had one of those fish hats, and it looks like a big fish mouth on top. And initially, the terminology for bishops and elders was, for the most part, practically interchangeable. Bishop was more the activity, elder was more the rank. But still, the term bishop came to be thought of as a leader of leaders. And I'm not completely against the use of that. As long as, culturally speaking, we understand what we're talking about, you know, maybe we want to have a leader of leaders, and that's important too, that we have leaders of leaders. And in the texts that we've been looking at, there's a plurality of elders. Should the pastor be the only elder? I don't think so. Perhaps, though, it's important that we have someone who is recognized as the presiding elder. That's important because I don't know about you, but I'd rather not be on a plane where two guys are fighting over who gets to fly it. That doesn't sounds like a rough ride to me, till one of them wins at least. And this plurality of elders was also because whole cities were being brought to Christ. So, you know, you get to a point where you're wearing a person out if they don't get to, you know, they can't get to everybody because a whole city is a lot of people sometimes. So we have Paul going around appointing elders, and he even tells Timothy to appoint elders so that there are plenty of leaders that the people have access to. And then again, they're supposed to shepherd the people. I just want to say something here. You can't force feed anyone. The pastor can only lead the sheep to where the grass is. He can encourage them to eat. And let me just talk about this for a second. Sometimes people get tired of being fed a good, steady diet. How many of you want something new once in a while? I don't think that's completely bad, but just because you think you've heard something before doesn't mean it isn't good for you. Sometimes people get bored with hearing some of the things, and so they start to get blown about by every wind of doctrine, Ephesians 4:14, or they start to want to satisfy their itching ears, 2 Timothy 4:3. Sometimes it's good to hear some of these things over, is what I'm saying. Did Mama make you something different every time you came to eat? Probably she didn't. Some of you didn't want anything different every time you came to eat. You wanted the same thing over and over again as a kid. Cake or whatever it was, you know. But, yeah, the food's good. I remember hearing this quote of Martin Luther: "We need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day." Yeah, the first time I heard that was from Pastor John. Did I say Pastor John? Yeah, I did preach this before. Do you think that's okay to call him Pastor John, Pastor Kurt? You know, these guys are helping feed the flock, aren't they? They get up and share the word. That means they're shepherding. Should we just call them shepherds so it doesn't sound like pastor, or can we say elder? Oh, they happen to be on the elder board. What? Does this make, see how all this, that we have these tendencies to have these certificates that elevate and blah, 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 blah. But the reality is, you know, if you're a good shepherd, you know what you smell like? Sheep. Because you're hanging out with the sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. So, yeah, that makes them pastors. There's an understanding we need to have of that. I was at a pastor's prayer meeting probably 3 years ago now, 4 years ago, something like that. And I noticed that they had pictures of several different pastors on the wall, and it was a little bit larger church, so that kind of makes sense. But I asked the senior pastor if they were all paid staff, and he laughed. No, wish they could be. But they were, as leaders of specific areas, put in a place where people knew that if you had something you needed in that area, you could do something in that area by seeing that pastor. So let me just make an official announcement today. We've had some wonderful people helping as my helper and administrator that worked in the office and do all sorts of things, and I've appreciated them, and I don't know why I maybe didn't even just apply this to some of them in the past, but you may not know this, but Pastor Kurt has been a pastor before he ever came here. He has a history of that. And he did get all the credentials. He's probably got more than me. And starting immediately, I guess, we'll say, Pastor Kurt will be in charge of administrative things in here. He's going to take the place of Marlene. Yay! Yeah, that's all good. I think Marlene's happier about it than anybody. And so actually, Kurt and Rhonda together are going to help. So we're getting two for the price of one. Yes! What a deal. But anyway, I just appreciate having somebody who has had some experiences like I've had that'll be able to take care of the day-to-day stuff. So don't bother me anymore. Talk to Kurt. No, just kidding. Just kidding. No, but, you know, this is kind of cool, and Marlene's going to get to kind of retire from this, although she's still working, so it's a Two jobs was just getting to be a little bit much. In that church, by the way, two of the people that were on the wall are now the pastors, because the senior pastor retired. And both of them had their own businesses, as I understand it, and they couldn't give a full-time thing, but the church decided that they were both so wonderful and they'd been there so long that everybody wanted them to be the one. So one's still running his business and one's running her business, and they both are pastoring together. Cool, huh? Yeah. And I think it's great. And, you know, I don't need to be called Pastor Tim, but I also make a really strong effort to never forget that I am Pastor Tim. You understand what I'm saying? That word has a responsibility connected to it. And I try to never forget that. Sometimes giving people a title is a way of reminding them of their responsibility. And elders are pastors who help nurture the flock. Isn't that right, Pastor Crystal? Whoa, she can't be pastor. She just got here. Well, let me see. She's been here longer than I was here 27 years ago. I hadn't been here more than about, 2 weeks? And everybody called me Pastor Hacker, because that was our culture back then. You called the pastor his last name and his first name was Pastor. Crystal was a pastor before she got here. And many people in our house have already been ministered to by her. Yeah. Why? Because when you've been called to pastor, you have this thing that you do. It's called pastoring. Like, you can't help yourself. You just start doing it. In fact, the way I became a pastor was not by being a pastor and going through all the hoops and jumping through all the hoops to be a pastor. I became a pastor because I was pastoring. Didn't even mean to. I was just pastoring a bunch of Jesus freaks, and then I was pastoring the people wherever church I was in, and people were coming to me, and the next thing I know, they're like, hey, we've noticed you're a pastor. Oh, yeah, I guess I am. Okay, here's a certificate. Now you're official. Wow. And then I did get a little education. Very little. But anyway, I got a little. Psalm 23. We all have heard this psalm, I think. But he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. This is the kind of activity that pastors do. This is speaking of the Lord as my shepherd. But this is what pastors do. And restoring souls of those around them is a wonderful blessing. And good meals, even meals we eat a lot, are essential to good health. So naturally and spiritually, it's a joy to share a good message and to hear a good message. Now, verse 2 of the original text also says, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Interesting, the word dishonest is in there. That doesn't mean the pastor should have no benefit or shouldn't be blessed, but some pastors have gotten a little carried away, and we've seen that throughout the history of our Christian experience, probably. But no one should shepherd by compulsion. The good shepherds find themselves shepherding because they just have the heart to do it, not because they were told you have to. And people just naturally, as I said, gravitate toward shepherds. I have yet to meet a true pastor who didn't find themselves pastoring before they were officially called pastor. And if you feel like you should be called pastor, that won't be a problem. Just start pastoring. Someone will call you that. And if I see it, it'll probably be me. Does that make sense? I have met, by the way, a few paid pastors who were having a career. They were having a career. They went off to college, and then they went to seminary, and they were just good yakkers. And, you know, I do believe that Timmy Yacker was called to ministry and given a voice that isn't at all timid. You know, and I can talk. Sorry. But I'm trying to exercise the gift without overdoing it, you know, just saying. Back in our text, neither being lords, verse 3, neither being lords, literally not exercising lordship as though you are large and in charge. Even Jesus, who is indeed Lord of all, waits for us to make him Lord over us, doesn't he? And if you haven't given the lordship over to Jesus in some area of your life, that's going to leave a mark. Stop it. Because when he's Lord, things just go so much better. And he never forces us to recognize him as Lord in an area. He waits for us to realize he needs to be Lord in an area. Jesus said that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And when the shepherd calls them by name, they follow him. They don't follow the voice of a stranger. I think every pastor has to work in the same way. A pastor cannot lead those who choose not to follow. A pastor cannot try to take authority in their lives because they will not give it up by force, and force is not how we lead. So the good shepherd must be, as the text we started out with today said, an example. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that much give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that isn't profitable for you." Everybody say you. Say me. Okay. Boy, sometimes we read this, "Obey them that have rule over you." Ah. The word rule there is hegemei. Yeah, there we go. I can't say it, but it just means to lead. You know, somebody's got to be the leader. By the way, who is the leader? He's usually the first one in front of the army when they're battling and going up the hill. That's who the leader is. Some pastors have tried to subject their people, and rather than allowing them, they try to give them no option and try to lord over them and want them to drink the Kool-Aid. John and I were talking about this week. By the way, he's got a refreshment for you afterwards in the fellowship hall. Is it lime? No, I'm just kidding. No. And by the way, let me remind you, because the word obey popped up there, biblical obedience is agreement more than it is compliance. And I've got a whole message on that, so I won't take time to do that today. But there's literally a place in the scripture where it says God obeyed a person. Shama in the Hebrew. And it said he shamad somebody's request. And the rest of the places in the Old Testament you see it as obey. But in that case, was God obeying someone? No, he was coming into alignment with them for their good. And this is what we're trying to do with leadership. That it will be good for everybody. And it's good for you when you can come into alignment and agreement. And the Bible does talk about that. Amos 3:3 talks about how can we walk together unless we come into agreement. When we work with those who God has placed in our leadership, it is extremely profitable for us. It is to our benefit, and it is for our protection. And you say, well, there have been some people, again, that took advantage and did the wrong thing. Yeah, but if you're really being honest before God and honoring before God, I believe God will help you. Even if somebody gets to acting like a little bit of a Saul in your life and you're David. Psalm 23:4 says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod was occasionally used to bump of sheep that, you know, needed to be moved over a little bit. But for the most part, the rod was built for whacking wolves, not beating sheep. And the staff had this thing on the end of it so that they could reach down and pull the sheep out when they got themselves in a pickle. And back to our text again, not being lords over those entrusted to you. Some versions say being lords over God's heritage. God's heritage. This, again, is something that I try to keep in mind. There are people who want to be large and in charge, but and then they need a title to be large and in charge. But those who lead must always remember that they are leading something that does not belong to them. Doesn't belong to them. I know people say, "How's your church going?" And I'll say, "Oh, my church is doing great," but it's not my church. Right? It's not my church. I'm just trying to lead this thing and take it where God wants it to go, and I am a steward. So my accountability for where it went is going to hang over me in eternity. I'm going to get there, and he's going to look at me. Verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away." That's what I'm hoping that I've done good enough that I get that. That's what I'm after. Not for my sake even, but I just want to do it right. We all have responsibility for shepherding God's flock. Sometimes Pastor Tim's not available, but you can help take care of the other sheep, because we're all sheep. I'm still not bad, but I'm, you know, doing the best I can.
You said no jokes.
I know. Well, no jokes at the beginning. I didn't have a long, drawn-out joke thing. So some will step up and take responsibility, and the ultimate benefit to those who step up and take the responsibility will be the recognition that they receive from God. And that's all I want. That's all I want. Verse 5, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let me remind you, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve, and grace is when you get what you don't deserve. You get more than you deserve. You don't deserve it, but God gives it anyway. So I want to be humble about these things, and I want to get what he wants me to have, which is his grace. And being submissive and humble is really an important part of that. So we can get to a lot of things that we don't deserve if we'll just be good stewards of what God's given us to steward. I keep bringing that up. I'm going to say a little bit more at the end. But even if I didn't get grace, I wouldn't want to be in a position of having to explain myself to God. Like verse 6 and 7 again, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." The heart of a good leader is the heart of God. And what's God's heart? He cares for us. He cares for us. In fact, he works every day for our good. I don't know what that looks like exactly, but I'm not going to take it for granted. Oh, it's really no effort for God. You know, he just kind of... No, I think he works every day for our good. Romans 8:28. So we get to cast our care upon him, and he wants our burden to be light. Matthew 11:30, just talked about that recently. And a good leader wants your burden to be light too. So I'm preaching to us who are already maybe called elder or pastor, but I'm also letting you know that I believe is the heart of those in this house who are taking on those responsibilities. And Pastor Mark's not here today, but he's working on figuring it out. And Pastor Missy is here. And I don't know that anybody's ever referred to her as Pastor Missy, but They're a tandem, you know. They don't kind of, like, you can't separate the two of them. So that's the way it is. Shepherd the flock which is among you, verse 2. Shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers. I want to end today with the clear understanding that the flock is the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God. The flock of God. I think that's where some pastors have missed it, and I think that's where some things have gotten skewed, because they're trying so hard to do the flock, but they've started to think of it on their terms rather than God's terms. And that's where it's tough sometimes. Bethel Defiance is not my ministry, as I said before, it's God's. And even though I wrote a whole book on overcoming fear, the scariest thing in the Word of God for me, or the scariest thing that I can see based on what the Word of God says that a person can do is pastoring his church. You people are scary. No, I don't mean it that way. I just want to have a holy reverence and fear of God about making sure that I do what he wants me to do in the way that he wants me to do it. And this isn't a place where I get to do my thing. This is a place where I get to do his thing. Yeah, and there have been a lot of times when what he wanted to do was not at all what I had in mind. You know, I think I know how this is going to look, and I'm starting to do it, and the Lord's like, nope, that's not what we're doing. What? Why not? It's a good idea, right? No? But I thought it was a good idea. I thank God for this thing called repentance. And that's not just me feeling bad because I had the wrong idea. That's because he shows me the right idea and I get to change my mind. Kind of like a dirty diaper. Just, oh yeah, that's not going to work. I don't believe there'll be any well done for, I don't think well done will be spoken over people who do their thing well for him. You're doing your thing well for him. Let me remind you of a scripture that, again, one of the scary ones, Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? That's a pretty big deal. Have we not cast out demons in your name? That's a pretty big deal. Have we not done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Wow. I don't know. There may be some great looking ministries out there that were done for God, but not by God. Yeah, I told you, this is kind of scary. That's why Pastor Tim, he thinks these kind of things, and he thinks, I better straighten up. I better do this right. That's how I feel. So I want to make sure that we understand, as we raise up leaders in this house, and this is important, as we raise up leaders in this house, there'll be people who will take responsibilities over certain areas, and it may be time for us to maybe get back to that little bit of a thing where we make sure that they know that they are pastoring. And they take responsibility in that area, and they take it seriously because they're stewarding what God's given them to steward. Does this make sense to anybody but me? Yeah. So let's steward it well.